Welcome to This is Growth, the podcast where we help you build and scale modern customer success organizations. Today, we are talking to Mickey Powell. He's the co-founder of Update AI and the writer of the ebook ChatGPT for Customer Success. So as you can probably guess from this intro, we will be diving into how customer success professionals can integrate generative AI into their work so that they can gain time and achieve better results. In the research for the ebook, Mickey found that 24% of CS professionals are using ChatGPT daily, and 31% are using it weekly. This is over 50% of the CS professionals that are actively using ChatGPT. How cool is that? But then, there is still a huge number of us that haven't started with Gen AI yet. In fact, 45% of people studied said that they rarely or never use ChatGPT. That is why I wanted to have this conversation today. I wanted to dive into how are people using ChatGPT to understand what they're using it for, how it's affecting their work. So no matter where you are in the spectrum, whether you are leaning in heavily in Gen AI or not, you will be able to take something practical out of this conversation to start doing. So put on your running shoes, get on your bike, and let's dive in. Hey, Mickey, how are you? It's so good to have you in the podcast.
I am great. Thank you so much for having me here.
This is an long overdue conversation. I've been a fan from afar from the work that you are doing at Update AI. And I really need to ask you, you know, you have a long career in customer success. You've been on the trenches, you've worked as a CSM, you worked in operations. How is the founding journey going?
It's going really well. And that doesn't mean that it's always perfect or easy or fun. But I knew I wanted to go to a small company, a small team where I could make a huge impact. I think that's what I really loved about customer success in the beginning, because I was like, I don't even know what this is. What is this thing? I was literally like Googling stuff and like reading blogs in 2014, trying to figure out like what customer success is. And I just love having that massive impact. So we have, you know, a company and a tool that's solving problems for people. I get and it's for customer success managers. And I get a lot of joy hearing from them how much less stress they have or how much they love this. So yeah, you know, times are tough. If you're like getting up early, staying up late, thinking about how you're impacting people actually helps a lot. And then of course, working with a small team, you get to know really intimately. I've worked at, you know, Fortune 500 companies, and it's just not the same atmosphere. So I'm really loving it.
Oh, that's fantastic to hear. I mean, it's a CSM company by CSMs for CSMs. Like, I just love that. Before we go too far, tell us, what does Update AI do and why should people care?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know about you, Daphne, but I really suck at taking notes. So when I'm talking to somebody, I like to be listening and asking questions and really giving them my full attention. Taking notes always got in the way of that. And even worse, I would take notes and then I wouldn't even really understand my notes after the fact. I'd be like, what? And then what if I had a back-to-back meeting, you know, and I don't have time to kind of like synthesize? All these problems CSMs deal with daily. And thanks to the advancements in computation and AI specifically, we now can not only take the notes for customer success managers so that they can focus. That's kind of cool, but it's a little bit of like a party trick now. We actually then extract the insights that they need from those conversations. So, hey, not only are we going to take your notes, we're going to tell you, what are the action items? Who do they belong to? When are they due? What's the product feedback? What type of product feedback is it? What are the risks that were captured in the conversation? And what type of risk is it? Is it educational, relationship, value, business? And we'll even do little things like write emails for CSMs based, you know, the follow-up emails. And the one that a lot of people really like, that's kind of just like one of those nice to haves, is we'll even say, hey, you know, Mickey's talking with Daphne tomorrow. Last time he talked with Daphne, here's the notes from the meeting. So you don't have to go search through your CRM. So we're doing all these little things that just reduces a ton of stress. It automatically integrates into Zoom, and CSMs really love it. And it's saving them like 20 to 30 minutes per meeting in administrative work. So that's a long way of saying we do a few things very, very, very well. And it's really helping out CSMs who are just really overloaded and burnt out right now.
Yeah, that really resonates. Obviously, I have a ton of CSMs in my teams. And one of the biggest things that I hear from them is workload, right? They want to be in front of customers more often. They want to have more calls, but they also have a lot of stuff to do between those calls. And that is what prevents them from doing more. So that's fantastic to be able to use technology. And like, who likes doing admin, right? Like nobody likes doing admin.
Yeah. That hour long block you put on the end of your day to deal with admin work is like, that is the worst event on my calendar every day. I hate it. But it's like, what else are you going to do? Like, there's all this stuff that just builds up day after day or week after week. That's what makes me really excited about like the possibilities of ChatGPT and generative AI is I think it's going to keep eroding all those little annoying administrative things that have to get done, but are not high impact.
What I hear when you say this is that you have now a co-pilot or an assistant as a CSM, and they're doing all of the crappy work and you get to do the fun, high value activity. So that is great. That sounds great. Now, question for you. Do you integrate with CRMs? Like, obviously, like, you know, we still require people to update their CRMs and, you know, that we use that data for other stuff. Like, how are you thinking about that?
Yeah. So right now, like we have a vision where this will be even more automated. Right now, very mild automation. So we can push the notes into the account level for HubSpot or for Salesforce, you know, the two biggest players in the industry. And we envision a future where a lot more is pushed in automatically, keeping that guiding principle of we do not want to ask the CSMs to do more. I will not allow our product to ask the CSMs to do more unless it's a really, really big deal. So today we can automatically push it in. Tomorrow we'll continue to do more. Like an example would be, hey, you've talked to Daphne 4 times. And here's the common question. So, you know, we'll put some notes on the contact record for Daphne that says, here's the types of thing Daphne likes to talk about. And, you know, continue to build out this information, this knowledge about the customers that CSMs already have in their head. But we can capture it from those conversations, give that back to the organization.
Yeah, it's interesting that you touched there on the prep work that CSMs do, right? Like, you know, we're automating a lot of the follow-up, like you said, like taking the insights from those conversations and building follow-up stuff. But prep work takes a lot of time too, right? Like going back to your notes, revisiting what was the last conversation and was there anything that you needed to do that, you know, you can check in and make sure that you've done those things before that next call, or even holding your customers accountable to the things that they said that they were going to do. So all of that prep work that takes a lot of time. I mean, in a world where that is done for you, wow, what a world that is.
I know. There's a part of me that wants to move faster. It's like, hey, future, hurry up and get here already. Because like, I can see it. I can see it in my mind that like CSMs don't need to be doing all this administrative work. They do need the insights. They do need to have these conversations, but they don't need to do all those little things. It's such a terrible waste of valuable, intelligent people's time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think every single little administrative task not just takes from time, but also like when you think about context switching, right? It's like you're on a call and then you're writing and then you are following up a product and then like you're just switching between so many different activities that it's hard for your brain to, you know, do all of that effectively in a way that you can take in and be present and do your best and not feel like you're rushing and not end the day overwhelmed. So I think that future, I'm like you, I'm like, future, get here as soon as possible, please. Mickey, another thing I wanted to ask you about Update AI is, obviously, you know, working with like early stage investors, tell me, how has managing not just your customers, but actually like, you know, managing that side of the business, how has that been?
Yeah, it's been a really fascinating learning experience. I was lucky to join a company called Five Stars in 2014. They came out of Y Combinator in 2011. And the leadership group there was very transparent. And it was super helpful because they, you know, they would keep us up to date on, hey, we're raising money. This is what the process looks like. Here's the types of questions that are asked. Here's how we deal with those. And I can't, you know, speak for my colleagues, but I paid attention. I was like, this is fascinating. Like they're showing us more than the average company shows. They're showing us how like the mechanisms work. And so I paid attention because I'm a lifelong learner. I always love to learn. And now I'm now sitting in that seat and I'm trying to think back to those lessons, those findings that, you know, Victor Ho and Matt Doka and the rest of the leadership group at Five Stars shared with us. And it's definitely helped me to say like, hey, I have to paint like this vision for these investors. Like I have to show them a world that's possible so that they're willing to give us money. Plain and simple. It's not too dissimilar from what CSMs have to do every day with their customers of like, hey, here's this vision of what you could accomplish with our product, but like, you're going to have to go through this process with me. So painting that vision and then trying to like bring them along. And of course, there will always be, you know, due diligence and all the mechanisms. But I've found that my training, my experience as a CSM is very much helping me with these conversations because they're like a very skeptical executive champ, you know, executive sponsor or stakeholder. And so I treat them as such. And if I can paint that vision and speak honestly and directly with them and show that we have a plan and a strategy, they get as excited as us.
I love that. I mean, one of the questions I get most through my LinkedIn or, you know, mentoring is always about transferable skills, right? I want to grow my career. Like, what are the things that I do today that can take me to the next level or to that next job or that next company? And I love a few things that you said about that. Like one, like you were listening in that company, right? You're looking for, what are the key pieces of information that leadership is sharing with me that's going to help me grow in my career? And obviously you are applying that today, right? Some of the things that you learned then. And then on the other hand, you're also taking all of the knowledge and experience that you had as a CSM and you're thinking about your investors, like stakeholders that you've had in the past and what are all the things that they're interested in and how can I drive and motivate them? How can I sell my vision? So I love how you are taking all of those transferable skills because CSMs just get exposed to so much, right? They talk to executives, they talk to operations, they have to prove value, they have to get deep into the product, they talk to technical people. Like it's just such a versatile role and it's, I feel lucky to work in an industry where we do actually have so much connection with other businesses. So yeah, I love that point on transferable skills. One thing that I love to ask you is, you're obviously working, let's say, in the edge of customer success, right? You're like thinking about AI and how we can benefit from it. What are some of the things that you're hearing from leaders or your buyers that are looking to be customers of Update AI? Like, what are they what are they trying to solve for?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the main thing that's coming up in the industry right now is, and unfortunately, we all know this to be true, that like we don't have enough revenue to support the headcounts that we had 2 years ago. So people are losing their jobs. And I've been there, by the way, many times, unfortunately, and it sucks. So now we have less people to deal with the same amount of customers. That leads to burnout. That leads to all sorts of additional problems. So then how do we deal with that? Leaders are looking for ways of optimizing. Like everybody I'm talking to, it's always like, how do we do more with less? How do we optimize? How do we get more efficient? And they were already going to do this before ChatGPT came on the scene. That was already going to be the goal, the objective for pretty much every business, with the exception of, you know, a few that happen to be growing. Now there's this new, very wide, very generalized tool that nobody knew how to really use or interact with beforehand. And we're all trying to just learn and catch up. And my theory is that the same pull we've seen towards like digital customer success, you know, the ability to like scale marketing or community or content or just simple, you know, in-app messages, whatever it might be, we're going to see a higher order of magnitude amplification of our customer success team through large language model tools like ChatGPT. But here's specifically what I mean, because that's too ambiguous for anybody to do anything with. Let's break it down into pieces we can kind of manage. There's external, so that's like customer facing stuff, whether that's a product built into your product or just using the tools in like customer facing content or instructions or guides or what have you. And then there's internal. With the external, there's a lot of risk. If you accidentally send them something because generative AI like generated an email and it was totally like nonsensical, you're hurting your relationship. So almost no leaders that I'm meeting with, once they start to understand, they're like, I'm going to stay away from the customer stuff for now. It's too new. There's not only is there that risk, there's also like InfoSec, privacy, security questions. Then there's the internal. And underneath the internal, there's two broad buckets, actually three broad buckets that I see. There's like operational, like processes. So can we build, can we enhance, can we optimize, can we learn? ChatGPT is very good at that. The second one would be enablement. Can we shift our lowest experienced reps up that curve towards higher experience much faster? And there's some early and good science being done behind this, which I'm happy to share with you. You can put it in the show notes. And then the third would be around like management and communication. So for instance, I use ChatGPT for a lot of different things, but one of them I use is like, hey, here's an opinion I have. I'm writing this. What would be a counter opinion? What am I missing? So you could imagine, Daphne, that like, you know, you have team members. If they are feeling frustrated or burnt out, they could go to ChatGPT and they could work through some of those frustrations and thoughts, get those out, and then come to you. Or you could help them craft a, maybe not a performance plan, you know, I'm hoping nobody's on a performance plan, but maybe a learning plan. Like, hey, you know, let's say you're Daphne, you're working with me, I'm one of your reps, and you're like, Mickey, you know, you really love operations. And I don't have time to like, you know, sit down every day and give you training on operations. But what I can do using ChatGPT is we can feed in a lot of your preferences, a lot of your existing skills, what you want to have, and we can put together a plan of development towards that. And ChatGPT can give book recommendations, it can come up with exercises, and it can explain things 100 different ways if you need. So that's a very specific example. But to zoom back out, I think it's internal is where a lot of leaders are wanting to focus right now. And I think it's the highest value and lowest risk. And then underneath that, there's like general operations, there's management, and there's enablement. And those are the areas I'm exploring really deeply right now to try to learn more and give back to the community on what I'm finding.
Yeah. I love what you said about the helping you build a learning plan. This is not something that I have thought about. This is like, as you're saying this, I'm like, oh, that makes complete sense, right? I use ChatGPT on a daily basis. Like you, I will put in prompts and have like full on conversations with ChatGPT about like opinions I have, content I'm writing, newsletters I'm putting out, all of that stuff. And on the process front, I think that's the place where I think a lot of people, like you said, are already thinking and investing around helping the AI be a co-pilot to the CSM and help their jobs to become faster, better, and removing the admin tasks. the learning plan is something I haven't thought about. And I think it's such a fantastic one because the job of a manager coaching is actually very difficult. Coaching somebody in the job that they have, it's easy. What if somebody actually wants to grow to a direction that you have no knowledge around, right? Let's say you come to me and you say, hey, I want to become a product manager. Well, that's probably a bad example because I have a master's in product management.
But I know somebody that made that transition. She did a really fantastic job.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that like finding, you know, if somebody wants to go in a direction that you don't have know-how and expertise, it's hard. You know, how can you do? You can connect them with the right network. You can help them brainstorm ways, connect them with courses, etc. But, you know, I think ChatGPT is such a great place to start that, you know, and design that learning plan. So, yeah, it's such a cool thing. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
So I want to touch on a few things that you said when you talked about that process improvement. And now, this is, I suppose, the start of the generative AI kind of phase. And there is a quality concern, right? Like there's a quality concern from a perspective of, is it true? Like, are the things that the generative AI is putting out, are they factual? For example, I know that if you ask a question based on a script that you put into, it can hallucinate and it can tell you things about that script that were not there whatsoever. So like you can send an email to a customer with a point in terms of like follow-up actions or what was discussed that never existed in the conversation, right? Yeah. So obviously like it's a really, quality is a concern, I think, for a lot of leaders and would definitely be a concern in terms of like mass rollout. Is that something you're hearing?
Yeah, absolutely. And every time I chat with teams or do webinars, I always kind of give the disclaimer of, if it matters for safety, legal or ethical reasons, you need to consult a professional if you can't independently verify. An example is I actually use ChatGPT to write my wife and I's will.
Wow.
But before I file that with the state and get it notarized and that whole nine yards, I am going to have a lawyer look at it so that like there's not glaring omissions and things like that. And that probably saved me, I don't know, $400 or something, right? To get the first draft done. So similar approach for internal things. So I want you to imagine like if you're building a process from zero to complete, it takes this long. What I see ChatGPT in its current iteration doing is helping you get to that like 80% 10x faster. So instead of, you know, let's say it's going to take 10 hours normally to get to that 80%, it's going to take you less than an hour, maybe even less than that to get to that 80%. And then you save that last 20% to like make sure it's accurate. You know, you put as much guardrails on it. It's plugged in at the right place. It's, you know, if there's data that it could even potentially hallucinate, that it's low risk, like, or no risk, because it's like, you know, the difference between banana and apple or the difference between banana and nuclear bomb. Like there's a big difference between those things. So like, can you verify it some way or does it not matter? So that's where I see it right now. Like we're not going to let these things run wild and just do whatever they want. We'll still need a lot of human intervention to validate, but the trade-off is still massive, like in terms of what it can do to get to that end result. And for managers and leaders or CSMs that like to build process, I'm like, you should be documenting and like building processes around everything right now, because you now have a tool that can help you get all of that done 10x faster. And that'll help your whole team, right? Because quality is a concern.
Yeah, of course. And the other piece that I think is important is to talk about companies that don't have a lot of publicly available data, right? So for example, HubSpot's in a great place. We have over a decade of amazing content that we've been publishing consistently, not just about our product, but about our industry. And it really helps with, when I put on ChatGPT something about HubSpot, it's pretty good, right? And I get great sources. Now, if I am a new business and I'm starting, I'm a startup. I have a few hundred customers, and I haven't gotten the content, and it's not, you know, organized. It's not publicly available. Like, is it helpful, or does the value diminishes based on the content that you have available online?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's one I've actually thought a lot about, because like Update AI, we're a new company. ChatGPT knows nothing about us. If you ask it, it'll just make whatever up. So how do we deal with that? So this is actually the topic of tomorrow's webinar that I'm doing. It's around frameworks. So I'm going to do my best to explain this. So please feel free to ring me in if I start rambling. I want you to imagine like a household budget. Have you ever put together a household budget?
Yeah. I'm a big spreadsheet nerd. So I have spreadsheets for everything.
There you go. A budget is a framework. It's a common approach to doing something, breaking down something big into something manageable that gives you insights, that increases quality and it decreases complexity. So a budget is a framework. There's thousands of them. Like a grocery list, that's a framework. Who, what, when, why, where, that's a framework. So if you're in a situation where ChatGPT doesn't know about the specific context, then you need to dig deeper and say, okay, for whatever I'm trying to accomplish, what's the right framework? So I'll use an example around positioning value. A common framework for positioning value is features, advantages, benefits. So Update AI's features, Update AI's advantages, Update AI's benefits. ChatGPT doesn't know that context, but what I can do is, and actually I've done this, is I said, hey, ChatGPT, I'm trying to come up with a better feature advantages framework for Update AI. Ask me questions about this to help me. And I would have that conversation back and forth. So I would tell it, this is it. How does that sound? And be like, oh, that's good. Or, you know, expand a little bit more on this or do that. And at the end, now I have my features, advantages, benefits. So now I have like the context around that. Then I could use that to build a blog post, or I could use that to put together a sales deck, or put together, you know, the opening slide of a QBR or whatever it is. So if you're in a situation where you're lacking a lot, like ChatGPT doesn't have natural context and training in the underlying data set, then just go deeper and say, like, what is the thing I'm actually trying to get at? What's the right way to approach this? And we could probably talk about that a lot longer, but I'll stop there. Otherwise, I'll keep rambling.
No, that makes a ton of sense, right? Like ChatGPT can help you. Like it can help you building your learning plan. It can help you build the content that you need to share with your audience, and in the future, actually give you better answers. So mm-hmm. I think that idea of frameworks really resonates. Like I am a systems thinker. I think everybody has a budget. I think that was a great analogy that you used. So yeah, and another question I have for you is, with a generative AI, there is also a security concern. Right? Like, where is my customer data going to go? And is it safe? And should I be inputting this? Tell me, what's your take on it?
Yeah, my take is, do you trust companies to do what they say they're going to do? You put your information into Google, we are talking over Zoom, you know, like, if you trust the companies to do what they say they're going to do, then you actually shouldn't be that concerned. Now, if you don't trust them, or if the risk is just too high, then don't put anything in there that you don't want to be available to anybody else. Now, from a statistical standpoint, if you put a piece of information like Mickey has a blue poker chip, if you put that into ChatGPT, the statistical likelihood that that's ever going to come up in the answer of a prompt is probably about as close to zero as you can get. Because like, when would ever anybody ask about Mickey and his poker chips, and does it know who Mickey is? Like, it just wouldn't come up. So I see it like from a statistical probability sense, very, very low risk. But I do know that we've all been burned in the past by companies either getting hacked or, you know, unscrupulous business practices, things like that. So yeah, if you're unsure, if you're or if the risk is too high, then sit this out until ChatGPT and the various companies come up with a much better solution, which they're working on.
Yeah. And I love that you said about the statistical probability, because I can just imagine the volume of data, right, and finding it. But the problem, I think, it's like the commitments we have with our customers, right? It's we are not asking them to give us authorization to use that data in that way, even if the chances are like not forever. You know, it's just not something that we have asked. Are you seeing companies changing their legal agreements with their customers in order to allow them to use data in ChatGPT or any technology like ChatGPT?
I haven't seen that specifically, but what I have been seeing is either like companies putting up hard walls, being like, we're not going to allow ChatGPT to be used on our networks or any large language model to be used on our networks. So they, you know, they're cutting it off essentially at the IP level. That's one way. Another way is some companies are basically like Reddit is a good example. They said, hey, we're going to shut off our API so that companies like OpenAI or, you know, the various competitors cannot use our data in the training of their models. So because they understand that that's an advantage, right? They've built up that data. They want to be able to use that for their own advantage. So those are the kind of the big trends that I'm seeing right this minute. But my guess is it's just too early, right? Like that, my guess is there's going to have to be some legal precedent that comes around and says like, hey, this is how you can or cannot use. And we're, you know, we're seeing in like the film and television industry, that's now like some lawsuits are starting to come up. So we will get some legal precedent about like what is public use and in relation to large language models and all of that. So I'm not a lawyer, so I don't really like, I don't really want to get involved in it, but it's probably going to make a lot of ruckus.
Yeah, I feel like we are at the beginning of infinity with this stuff, right? It's like there's so much that we even don't know about the consequences and the use cases. I wanted to shift gears a little bit. I know you wrote an ebook in relation to how to use ChatGPT to get, you know, value for CSMs. Like you had a bunch of prompts, etc. And I think that this is a place where a lot of people might struggle with it's actually creating prompts, right? Yeah. And obviously, the quality of your prompt, the quality of your question makes all the difference. Do you have any tips or advice for what great looks like for a prompt?
Yeah. Number one, just don't worry so much about that. Just get started. But the big caveat is don't stop. Like if you're not happy with the result, then ask another question. Push it towards the result you're looking for. So the number one tip I give people is think about start with the end in mind. Like, what are you trying to accomplish? So earlier we talked about this learning plan example. So if you're sitting down with your CSM, you said, hey, they're here. They want to go here. Okay. How do we get them there? Well, they need some more skills and experience. You can network them, do all those things, but they still need the skills. They need to practice. So you can keep that end in mind and you can ask ChatGPT, hey, I've got a CSM. They want to you go from being a CSM to a product manager in this space and in this industry. Here's what they're really good at. Here's what they need to work on. And we want it like our goal is to accomplish it in 6 months. So like give us and here's some constraints. Like they can only do it for an hour on Tuesdays and Thursdays, you know, whatever. That is going to give you 99% better response than write me a funny email to Daphne.
Yeah, what I'm hearing is like be descriptive. Yeah, be very specific about what it is that you're trying to get.
Yeah, and in the ebook, I talk about there's four guiding principles, like the foundation of how you should think. And then there's eight components. And I always describe it as like a DJ table with all the knobs and levers. Like there's different ways that you can use language to get different results from ChatGPT.
Perfect. Well, that is a great hook for your ebook. We don't need to dive into it, but I will link it in the show notes and people will be able to access and get all of that knowledge, which I think is so valuable. And I have used that so many times. So thank you for putting it out in the world.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I'm happy to. I'm hoping that maybe there will be another one in the future, but it was a lot of work.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I can only imagine. Did you use ChatGPT to write your ChatGPT ebook?
I know. Everybody always asks that. I actually put it in the book how I used it. I actually used it when I was like kind of like 70% done and I was really stuck. I was like, I don't know where to go with this. Like, it's not done, but I'm running out of ideas and motivation. So I threw it all into ChatGPT and I said, here's the book. What am I missing? Is it logically ordered? What are counter arguments to any opinions that I have? And it gave me a bunch of ideas and that gave me the inspiration to keep going.
Wow, that is like inception, right? It's like ChatGPT running
level, ChatGPT. Under level, yeah. Under level, under level.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Miki, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. I feel like we could talk for another 10 hours about technology and Gen AI and customer success. But I will pause here because we are going to have a part two to this conversation at some point in the future. So yeah, I think our audience will be eagerly awaiting for that day.
I'm looking forward to it, Daphne. Thank you so much for having me on.
If you enjoyed this conversation and want to support the podcast, make sure to hit follow or subscribe wherever you listen. And if you're feeling generous, please share with your colleagues or friends. That's the best way to help me spread the word. And finally, if you're loving this content, don't forget to sign up to the This Is Growth newsletter. It's a weekly email that hits your inbox on a Friday with practical tips on how to build and scale modern customer success organizations. Thank you for listening, and I see you next month.